Good morning. This is Taz Powers. Paula. Hi, Lee Carroll.
Oh, this is Lee Carroll.
Hi, Lee. You're there. Great.
Well, I'm here.
Well, I can't hear Paula. Wow. What's going
on? Oh, no. Paula, are you there?
Oh, Paula.
Paula.
Oh, my goodness. Well, interesting. And I have her online, too. That's just amazing to me. Okay. I don't know what to do here. We're going to go for it, Lee, okay?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Well, in 2001, on September the 11th, a new reality was brought to the USA, and many observed our world in a different light. And today we have a very special guest, Lee Carroll, who channels Kryon, who brings forth a way to embrace our changing world. Here, just to let you know, there's really a fun visitor that just popped into our studio with me this morning. Her name is Susie Robertson, a devotee of Lee Carroll's. She and I were traveling next week to visit Mount Shasta for Lee's special upcoming event. In 1995, Susie Robertson actually brought Lee Carroll into my living room, to our meditation group. It was a lot of fun. Today, she'll be listening and sharing with us or asking questions, I hope. welcome, Susie. But let me tell you, our guest, he's incredible. Lee Carroll is the author and channel of 11 Kryon books and co-author of The Indigo Children and Indigo Celebration, The Indigo Children 10 Years Later. There's 14 books total. And these Indigo books introduced the world to the term Indigo Children in 2000, spawning many follow-up books by various authors, a movie, a documentary, and lots of interest worldwide regarding our changing kids. So the Indigo books have sold almost 500,000 copies worldwide in 24 languages. Wow, Lee, that's incredible.
Thank you.
What happened? How did all of this begin for you?
I'll give you the story, and it's fun. It's a fun story even to tell. You have to understand literally who I am for it to be fun. But before we do the fun, let me just tell you, I've been a recording engineer for 30 years. That's the engineer. I've been in electronics. I had one of the first recording studios in San Diego, California, where I was born, where I'm living, where I'm talking to you now. And I have been on lots of webcasts. I've been on lots of radio shows. And what is happening to you right now is very, very common. For your listeners, not to have Paula be able to come in on a line that she always comes in on, is like the little, we call them gremlins.
Wow.
It's just one of those things. Well, maybe we'll get her here in the next little bit, or you'll find out, but you don't have to apologize to anybody, I don't think. You're sitting there, you're not a technician, and you have a protocol that's supposed to work, and when it doesn't, you know, there's nothing you can do.
The extra buttons to push,
exactly. So I'm sitting here saying, I'm smiling, and not for your misfortune here, and not having Paula be able to hear or to talk, but it's just so common, especially in these in the days of the webcast. This background I've just given you is was all my life. This is all I've wished to do. And I was about 43, I think, when this all started to occur to me. I was with a woman called Jan Tober, who's my spiritual partner. And she was very metaphysical. I know you have listeners here. We're going to talk about channeling a little bit, I hope, as well. And we'll talk about that, and I would like to just explain a little bit about what my take is on it. And I'm a channeler. I'm an author and a channeler. In the process of that, of course, there's lots of books that have been written, just like you said. But what took place was, and some of your audience will get a kick out of this, is I am the non-metaphysical partner then of a metaphysical woman, and it's not that unusual. And I have this very strong man brain, and the man brain says, of course, all of this is foolishness. And I did not assign foolishness to Jan because, of course, she's my wife at the time. And she could go do foolish women things. That's what I used to think that this all was. Because any time I went to one of those metaphysical meetings, it's about 30 years ago now, They were all women over 40. And at the time, I was neither. And I watched them do, like, really, really goofy things. And I always said, now I'm doing goofy things. But I used to say, I'll never join the Fruit Loops and Wind Chimes crowd. I just don't want anything to do with that. She took me to a channeler, and this man's name was Frank Halper. We just lost this man last year. And he was if you want to point to somebody who made a change, it was Frank. And I didn't want to go. He was a channeler, and I didn't believe in it. And I thought channeling was occult and weird and odd. And, I sat in front of him, and I expected his head to spin around and pea soup to come out. All the things that you might imagine that somebody who has no idea what anything is about is thinking. And Frank just gave an hour worth of stuff, and I had no idea what it was. I didn't care, but I recorded it for Jan. That was her birthday present. So now you know how it started. And then 3 years later, she took me to another. This guy was a psychic, and I said, okay, I'll go. And this guy went, and he gave me some information, and I said, I don't believe in any of this. And he says, yeah, I know. And he says, you want to make this session really short? And I said, yeah, would you do that for me? He said, yeah, I'll give you the message I'm getting. I say, thank you very much. And he said, there's a magnetic master named Kryon who's trying to get a hold of you. And I almost burst out laughing. I said, that sounds like spray paint, Kryon. There's a product called Krylon here that is, you go to the hardware store and buy this stuff. So when I came out of the session, Jan said, well, what did he say? I said, I'm supposed to channel spray paint. And I laughed and I made a big deal about it. Now I'm getting to answer your question. I started thinking about it, and I said, I've heard this name Kryon before. And I said, wouldn't it be something if the guy 3 years earlier had said something about that? So I went and found a tape. I had to know, because I got this inquiring mind. And there it was, right on the tape, and I never realized it was there before. At about the 43-minute point, an hour channel, the guy said, Frank said, there's a magnetic master named Kryon trying to get a hold of you.
Oh, my gosh.
Same words. So I had a puzzle. Now, it became a spiritual puzzle. How could two guys 3 years apart who never met each other give me the name of what I call the spray paint channel, and out of the blue, and how was this allied in the ethers? How could something so non-synchronistic to my logical brain, but synchronistic to a metaphysical brain, how could it occur? That is what started me looking. And in the process, and I'm a stubborn guy, it took me 4 years more to really believe it and get it going. That's when, in 1989, I allowed Kryon to come in, and that's where it all started. And then I opened the door, and the floodgates came.
Lee, intermittently, what would happen to you before this actually started? Did you have feelings that this was taking place, or that your body was changing or anything?
No, I did not. In fact, I'll tell you, this whole 19 years has been a wonderful learning experience. When you open the doors and you're a babe in the woods, and I tell people who are channeling, it's like, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? And the answer is practice. It's what do you do when you are starting to channel, whether it's your higher self, whether it's your intuitive self, whether it's another entity, whatever it is on the planet, and you're solidly believing that you're getting messages. People ask me, well, what do you do with it? And the answer is, you exercise that muscle, that metaphysical intuitive muscle, and you do it often. And the more you do it, the better it gets, the clearer it becomes, the more comfortable you are with discerning what is like fluff and what is not fluff. And so, I'm talking about truth. I'm just talking about you could just dribble for hours. You make it to make it clear and accurate and loving. And so the answer is I didn't have any idea, and so I had to practice, and we started out with I never thought I'd be doing it live, by the way. I thought I would be safe and just be at my word processor. Nobody would ever see my face. I could write a little bit, and I could be in columns, and I knew it was real. And, of course, I fought the thing that all people fight who have their foot in two worlds, one which is 3D and one which is not, and that is that I was afraid people would find out. What would the people at work think? Here we go. And, of course, it occurred to me, because I was born and raised in a Christian setting, that it might be the devil, you know. And here we go with all of that. Now that's my process. If you have listeners on this fine show, they may say or think, well, how foolish or how silly of him. But you know, it's a cultural thing. When you grow up as a child and you are taught certain things all of your childhood, it's hard to simply throw them away and unlearn them because somebody says something. And so you go through a process of learning what is real and what is not. And I went through all of that. So when Kryon started coming in, I allowed it. I allowed it because it was filled with love. I had got these messages from these two psychics that I couldn't understand it, so I really opened the door. I said, well, God or whoever you are, if you got a message for me, here I am, and bam, it came. The ramp-up, I would say, you can see. You can see in book one, the little white book, the smallest one. It's almost cryptic. It sets the stage. Now you rewind to last year's book, book 11, and now we're talking almost conversationally. So this is the growth. And then you also start to live it. In other words, the messages aren't just spewing out for other people. They're for you. So you start changing your own body. You start changing how you think. You start changing how you look at the world, how you look at other people. You become gentler, less apt to be angry, more peaceful with life. All of these things, because you can't not do it. You've got to live what you're teaching, or it doesn't work.
That's interesting. Here we're on the eve of 9/11, and we're saying these things, embracing the world in a different way, looking at what's happening and how we can help the world itself.
Yes, I have so much to give you on that, if it's time. And there's been so much given to me. And I was in a meeting last night with metaphysical workers, and we started talking about this, and I couldn't believe how many people were getting the same message. You know, when you start talking about some of these esoteric things, everybody has their own idea, but there's one common denominator, and that is everything you do personally with your own consciousness somehow helps the planet. And from the get-go, from the actual beginning of my channeling, Kryon came in and said, there's a bigger picture here than many of you recognize, that you have a spiritual consciousness on the earth. Should you awaken and start spreading light, and that is his way of saying, if you were to find the truth that was your spiritual self inside, if you would hook up and start changing your cellular structure, the earth knows it. The earth begins to shift and change. And you actually leave a residue of all of your epiphanies, all of the things you change as you work on yourself, the earth actually vibrates higher. Here's the mechanism, you might say, for a higher vibrating earth based upon what we do personally ourselves. And what I like about that is it means that it doesn't mean you have to be on a world stage. It doesn't have to mean you're a healer or an author. It has to do with personal work. Whatever you discover for yourself, as you go in, you're going to have answers, but it's the big picture is that those answers actually serve the planet. So here we are, helping Gaia, you might say, with what we are learning ourselves. I like that. It's a partnership. It's always been a partnership, and it's a strong one. And I believe it's an important one.
It really is. You have shared your message at the United Nations back in 95 in New York. You know, here is a huge area. They have invited you back and back many more times since then, sharing this message. When you go back to share messages again and again, there's new people there, I'm sure.
Always.
You wonder how this message gets out, Lee. You wonder how it expands. And is it quadrupling? Can you see this yourself and where you go?
I can, and I'm not really sure that just the United Nations message in particular. What I see is an expansion that is so clear, because when I am presenting in new countries, for instance, let's take Europe. When I first started going, and now when I've expanded into Eastern Europe and Moscow for the first time last year, and then I went again this year. We don't put up big billboards. We don't do promotion. We have a couple of ads in esoteric magazines, and then we use the internet. That's it. And yet thousands of people show up. It's almost like there is an underground intuitive message being given to so many human beings that are saying, I'll phrase it like this, God is bigger than I was told. Yeah. They want to know what's going on because they're feeling it intuitively. There's something about the cycle we're in. And so the result, I would say, not just of the messages at the UN, but the messages in the books and the internet, is that human beings all over the planet seem to know. And they want to know more. They want to know more about it. So you face an audience literally for the first time, like in Moscow, of looky-loos. So that is those who are waiting to see if you've got something. Within about 10 to 15 minutes, they know. They either got their antennas out or they don't. And, you know, some of them don't believe it. Some of them don't come back. But the majority do. And not only do they come back, so many of them are blessed. There's got a lot of healings. They're just wide open. And this is what's going on. So I guess what I would say is you don't have an evangelistic thrust here at all. What you have is a situation where they invite you in, and they show up, and you tell them what the messages are. And the messages are personal, and it, although it sounds generic in a book, they go into the heart, and they start to understand and realize their part in all of it. But it doesn't hit them with a responsibility. It hits them with an idea that they can change the drama in their life. They can live longer. They can be more peaceful with the things around them. Everybody wants that. And then the big one, they start understanding manifestation, co-creation, actually being able to have the things, and I don't mean physical things, have the things that we all desire, like peace in your life over the issues and the problems that we face daily. Being able to smile when you get up in the morning, no matter what's going on, because you see a bigger picture and you know it's accurate and appropriate for you. You don't, is, you know, worry is a thing of the past. Imagine that. Imagine that. Worry, a thing of the past. These are the kinds of things that we teach. This is what's going on.
Now, you've also said the audiences are larger in other countries than here.
Very, very much. There's, let me put it this way. We have large audiences in the U.S., but we have like one meeting a year we do in Sedona, which we will do again next year. And I invite everybody here to take a look at our website, probably starting January, where we have a special guest, and it's our Summer Light Conference for Cryon. Our special guest this coming year in mid-June will be Greg Braden, and he's a brother of mine and just a beautiful man with he's a scientist with a tremendous spiritual message. That crowd is about 750. That's about as big as they get in the States. When we go to Europe and show up, it will be double that, usually, just as a starter.
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean,
it is. When we went to Moscow, we had a theater. We could only find a theater that held 1,000, and we had to turn people away, and we put 1,100 people in. In fact, the end registration of the actual seats in the theater was 1,111 people, which is 1111. It's a very significant number in metaphysics. We all had to laugh about the synchronicity of that. So, and we do it. We pack out the auditoriums. And there's a reason. And if you're not an American and you're listening to this, you can close your ears. If you are, then I'll just tell you. We have had for 200 years the freedom to do this. And that is not to be afraid of the church or the government's alliance with the church. And to be able to worship any way we want to. And it really shows. If you want to... If you know what the difference between the USA, for instance, and almost any other country, this is one of it. It just yells and shouts, no matter what you think of the government or politics or anything else. This is one of our best attributes. We've got the freedom to walk around and start a church if we want to, or think odd thoughts if we want to, or be esoteric if we want to, and without structure. And it's not that way in Europe. They may say so, but it isn't. And this is fascinating to them. They still compartmentalize their spirituality.
Wow.
Even metaphysics competes. It's something that you don't have here. For instance, I promote other channelers on my stage. If anybody knows me and has followed my work, I find other channels and promote them on my stage. But this last Sedona meeting we had in June, we had 5 channels at the same time, 4 and I. We did a 5-way channel for an hour. It's online. You can read it. You can also, you can hear it and for free, by the way. It's the kind of thing that I love to do. I'm not afraid to have other authors with me and other speakers with me and other channels with me. However, that's not necessarily the way it would be in certain parts of the rest of the world. They see themselves in a structure, and they set up and compete. So it's no different than some of the churches where they say, well, don't go see that guy because I got the truth, and they don't.
Yeah.
But we don't do that here. And so it's unique.
Yeah.
This is what we're starting to bring them, is mm-hmm. this openness and uniqueness of how we do not compete and how we are comfortable with each other because we all have similar messages. We celebrate one another. This is not seen yet in certain ones of the countries. And, of course, when we're going to Eastern Europe, let me just give you an attribute there. We've been to Moscow twice. Next year we're going to Riga, former Soviet territory, because it's in Latvia. So we'll be talking to Latvians and Estonians, and we're going to collect them, a lot of these countries and people from there. And, of course, a lot of Russian speakers there as well. And the reason they're already starting to fill a stadium as we take tickets now, and that's very far away. It's the end of next year. The reason is because here's a group of people that for 50 years, that's two generations, have had a government that told them there was no God. Now they know better, and humans know better, but they weren't allowed to go to church, and so there was no doctrine in their training. And you might think, well, there's no doctrine in our training either, and there is. There absolutely is. If you belong to any religion on the planet, practically, you're told that you're born dirty and that you ought to give away your power to another person or another entity and that they will then help you or save you, and then you can't go directly to God and all these things. And they don't have any of that. And so they're wide open, absolutely wide open. And there's such a difference between presenting there, for instance, and in one of my favorite places in Argentina and Chile. There's such beautiful people there. But they've come up through the church, and so they've got a lot to unlearn before they can open the door. I hope I don't offend anybody by saying that that's the perception that we see. And that's the truth as I see it.
Lee, I have a question. We're going to go into a little different direction.
Sure.
I want to share with our listeners. At any of the channeling events, and I want you to kind of choose one, because maybe there was one that was maybe outstanding that you came out of the channeling. Something made an impression on you. Was there any particular incident where that happened?
They're all very unique. I had my favorites. There was one I gave in Chile last year. I think it was one of the only times that Crime channeled on the love of God. One of my very favorite subjects. And it was just very beautiful. I'm not here to sell stuff. I'll just tell you, it's on my website. There's a place where you can go on my website. If you go to the Cryon store, you'll find free stuff. And there's a section where you're going to find over 50 hours of free audios. And if you want to listen to them, they download on your computer if you have a fast internet service.
By all means, I mean, that's incredible what your website looks like.
And you can, and one of them is Chile. In fact, I want to make sure it's there, and I can do that even as I speak to you. And if it is, and it's the second chilly day to give you that the answer to your question, which I think has been one of the things that one of the most energetic ones that I've done for a long time. I'll find that for you. I'll let you know.
Recently, you were in Canada on the 28th, not long ago this year. And you brought forth information on the DNA. And in that, when I
was that the Kelowna?
That was, yes. In there, you said that, or Cryon told you that he wanted you to go out and share more about the DNA. Would you share some of that with us and what this means?
It's a lot to share. I'll be happy to. By the way, I'm on this page. I think it's cryon.com/free audio. We'll get you there. And that second Chile day is there. It's called Chile 2007 number 2.
Okay.
Which I think is really a heartwarming channel. Then the one you're talking about is there too, called Kelowna. We also have a situation where on our site we have them transcribed as well. Some people like to read them. Some people like to hear them. The transcriptions are always more complete because Cryon channels over the live audio, because sometimes live there's a lot of that is transmitted that is literally intuitive. It's not even said. When we end up transcribing these things, Cryon then rechannels certain things to make them clearer. So if you want to take a look at the Kelowna one that you're talking about on our page that has the transcriptions, you'll get a more complete picture. What Cryon started talking about in our DNA is so profound, I understand why he wants me to start teaching it. And it really is time. Let me just say that this is intuitive information, and you've heard pieces and parts of this for a very long time. But here it is complete. That is, when we come into the planet, first of all, I don't want to impose on anybody channeling. We have yet to talk about channeling. I don't want to impose on anybody a belief. You either believe this or not, and if you're listening to this and you don't believe it, thank you for even staying with me. This is not evangelical, I can't even say the word. It just really isn't. I don't want to put my thoughts onto anybody else. I will just tell you what has been given to me. You can leave it alone or you can pick it up. It's beautiful that we come in to this planet and there is a system. And you might have heard of the words Akashic Record. There's actually two kinds of Akashic Record. One is the record of all of the lifetimes of all humanity, which is held by the Earth. It's held by the Earth in esoteric ways, you can say in spiritual ways, also in physical ways. They say it's held in the crystals of the planet. If you're a geologist, you understand that most of the Earth's rocks are crystalline. So we already have now evidence of the fact that we have a crystalline structure that it goes around the planet beneath our feet. Cryon even calls it the crystalline grid. One of the attributes of crystals that is very, very common in electronics is that they hold memory. When I was a little kid, that was a long time ago, I built a crystal set. You probably don't even know what that is. A crystal set is a radio. And the frequency is held in the crystal. It remembers it. It's a piece of rock that remembers a frequency. So here we are, even in electronics and physics, with the acknowledgement that crystalline structure holds memory. And now, metaphysically, we are told that the Akashic Record is held in the planet in the crystalline grid. That's the Akashic Record. That is the record of all humans, what they've done, who they were, and the epiphanies they had, your record of a lifetime, who you were. The second kind of Akashic Record is imbued, according to Cryon, into your DNA. That is to say, that your higher self, that people call it your soul energy, the primary higher self, is the same one every time you come to the planet. Now, here I am again giving you the idea of reincarnation. I didn't used to believe in it. Now I do. I do because it is not counterintuitive at all to what we experience. In fact, if I can give you what Cryon starts to talk about in this Kelowna channel, he invites the mothers to acknowledge or not the fact that they can have multiple children and they are vastly different from the same set of parents. One comes in with self-worth, the other one comes in afraid of their shadow. One comes in with a talent to paint, the other one can't even draw a stick figure. And they're from the same DNA of the two parents. And what Cryon has said is that biologically, the genealogy plays into what color their hair is and what their face might look like and the predispositions of their health and immune system. But when it comes to their spiritual personalities, it's all in the Akash. And so what they are doing is coming in with karmic attributes that continue from other lifetimes, things they hadn't learned, you know how karma works, all of these kinds of things. And it's so obvious. And yet nobody really talks about this. They have all kinds of explanations and reasons. And they say the brain is very complicated and the children are a certain way because of what they learn and their environment. But moms know they come in with this. And the moms are the first one to see in the development of the child. They'll teach their children exactly the same thing, and yet one will come in vastly different in intellect than the other one, in talent than the other one. In phobias, there's a big one. One will be afraid of heights, the other one will jump on airplanes. And it's so obvious that they have come in with something else. Cryon says this is one of the proofs of past life experience. It goes way beyond anything a psychologist would ever be able to explain. And yet we try, because nobody, really, that's not in our consciousness as a Western nation. As a Christian Judaic Western nation, reincarnation is not in our consciousness. You have to go to Asia. You've got to go to the Orient for that to be something that everybody goes, yeah, sure, but not here. So here we are. Crank starts to talk about it. He says this, in the DNA is everything you ever were. If you're an old soul on a planet, you've gone around many times, it happens with one higher self. So picture this. Your soul has been here every single time. That soul of yours is what is it, whatever you want to call it that you connect to, that's really you inside, the thing that survives after death. Comes around again with a new body, new lessons to learn, maybe a new gender, maybe even another country speaking another language. And here you are back. But everything you learned the first time is still there. It's held in the Akash, according to Krayan. So if you're following me, now we're starting to see new gifts. Is it possible to mine the Akash? That is, to go in and get the things you've already learned as an old soul, to rekindle perhaps the talents that you've had before that you don't think you have, but they're there. You own them because you lived them. When you come in, they're transparent. They're invisible to you. You make up your mind that you only got what you got. And now we're starting to see it's very possible, if you start unwrapping this package, that there is far, far more. It's very, very empowering. And this is part of what Crayan wants me to start to teach. It's not easy, because you got to come up to, you have to believe in certain kinds of things and see the energies, and it's very esoteric. That is it in a nutshell.
Susie has a question for you.
Sure.
Oh, hi, Lee.
Hi.
I want to say that I'm just happy to be here.
Well, good. I know, not everybody can get in.
When I was reading your latest channeling on the DNA, it was so awesome. Something you didn't mention, I don't think just yet, is that it's shaped in the womb and given at birth, which
yep.
I've never heard Crayon say before. It's just so awesome.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And can you expand on that a little bit? Or?
Well, what surprised you? Let's start with that.
It is shaped in the womb and given at birth. It's just an energy that's shaped in the womb and given at birth. Is that what you're saying? It's in the DNA?
It's DNA. Well, if you think of the DNA is actually then, according to Crayon, this is now really, we're starting to get into controversy.
Yes.
The questions have been asked, at what point does life start?
That's my next question.
Now you're trying to trick spirit because you know where this is going. Because it's a big argument we have, you know, in the ethics of the USA. And Crayon says, you're not going to like the answer. And the answer is, it started before the earth began. There is a plan of who's coming in, when they're coming in, who belongs to who. Then you say, well, you can't do that without knowing the future. And Crayon says, in a now time, you see all the potentials of everything that can possibly happen, and that's where the planning occurs. So there's planning around the potentials. You don't know the future, but you know the potentials of what humanity might do. Therefore, it's no surprise when the child is born. The child's been waiting, and here it comes. Now, all of these attributes are gleaned from what would you call the Akashic record of the planet Earth. And when you are born, they are imbued into your DNA. Everything that you were gets transferred to you. That happens in the womb because that's where the DNA is developed. That's where there's so much spiritually that goes on as the child grows. And that at birth, you come in with numbers of things. You come in with the imprints from the old soul that you are. This is where you would probably obtain the imprint of what Crayon calls the imprint of the solar system, which is astrology. And that is, that affects your personality as well. That's controversial to a lot of people. We even now are studying how that actually might occur physically, with the physics of the of planetary system and the magnetic grid, how that's transferred to your DNA. So all of these things, it's a setup, and it happens at birth.
It's pretty incredible to find out these things that we have some aspects where we can pull on that we never even knew we had. So what does it take to pull some of those things from an area that we didn't know we had?
This is a wonderful question because now we get into this. We have a 3D perception of work. Here I am, I want to work on myself. Lee Carroll through Crayon is telling me that inside my DNA there are attributes that are mine, that I worked on, that I developed in past lives, that I'm not aware of, and I would love to go get them. So the question starts to be, not necessarily yours, but many people, what are the steps I need to do? And in 3D, you would say, okay, you've got to go and dress like a clown and get on a stairway and jump off four times. I mean, you know, people have made a lot of money asking you to do those crazy things. This is very 3D, and this is what Kryon tries to tell us. Is it isn't about steps. It's about getting in touch with this new gift that the magnetic grid is supplying. It's almost like lifting the veil. If you start asking with intuition and also intent about these kinds of things, let's say, for instance, that you have a hard time with self-worth. It's not you. This is in general. And so you might say, how can I feel better about who I am? That's really a good one. Or you might say, you know, I had experiences early in life and it was just beat out of me. The church beat it out of me. I had an abusive father. He beat it out of me. And so here I am standing here as a human who doesn't feel very good about themselves. I can't tell you how much I hear this. This is one of the prime issues. And I say, how would you like to go back to when you felt you were great? How would you like to go back to that lifetime when that never occurred to you, before all these people drummed it out of you, so you could claim a power that is really yourself? And you say, where can I find it? So here is the answer, and it's not an easy one. And that is, you go and you begin in meditation to claim it. You say, I need this to go forward. And you start talking to your DNA. You start talking to that personally. You say, out loud or not, if you wish, you just say, I would claim, and then you say, you know, your name goes here, whatever it is, these things. And over time, you start to realize they're taking place. I've had people do this with allergies. I've had people do this with phobias. Phobia's a big one. You know, you come in, you're either afraid of spiders or you're not. You're afraid of heights or you're not. And they say, well, you carry that all your life. There's that big I am, and then you fill it in here, afraid of this. And it's for life. And it isn't. I've had people talk about claustrophobia. That's a big one. And now they say they're not claustrophobic at all because they have picked up, they've gone into the Akash and picked up the time before they were. A lifetime where they used to be a sailor in a little tiny cabin or something. It didn't bother them at all. Now it does.
That's terrific.
So you do it intuitively. Let me just say something about intuitively. Let me show you how hard this is and yet how simple it is, if you'll allow me. I didn't believe in women's intuition. Silly me. For many years as a young man, and I'd hear the word and be with women and they'd say this and that, and I go, come on, you know, it's just that you're just making it up. Then the older I got and the more I lived with a woman who had it, the more I realized that she was right more times than not. And she used her, what she called, women's intuition to scope out situations. And she would go with her first impressions. And they often were absolutely right, almost spooky right. So I remember finally I said to Jan, I said, okay, you got me. I now believe in it. And I remember looking in her eyes and said, tell me how I can get it. And she just looked at me and said, it just is. Now, I'm going to tell you, it just is. So now you know that it's not through steps. It's not through doing this or that or, you know, getting into a situation where you face north and thumb your nose a certain way. It has got to be more than that. It has got to be you with you. Oh, by the way, I now have women's intuition.
Yeah, I was going to say, Haley, what about you? Is this something that you kind of just hooked into, that you began to kind of follow, like maybe I should go here, and then you experienced the close association or what?
Yes, indeed. And can I tell you what I did?
Sure.
I was born one way, and I'm another way now. And I could say anything I want to here. Nobody can prove it except the people who know me. No, this is so. One of the reasons that I chose to be a recording engineer is because I wanted to climb in a small room in a little booth and control who I talked to and who I heard. I didn't like people. I didn't like confrontation. I didn't like conversation. And I didn't do very well in English. I was not well read. All I wanted to do was be a hermit. This really satisfied that. I couldn't get into the Navy, and I tried. I wanted to be on a ship where I could hot bunk with the other guys. You know what I mean? And this is where, you know, one sailor climbs in while the other sailor's climbing out. And I wanted that because on a ship, it was a controlled social situation with a conservative structure. And that's what I wanted. And I didn't get to do that because I had one kidney. They wouldn't let me in the service. I tried. I'm here in Navy Town in San Diego. I tried. Home in the 7th Fleet. And so what I'm telling you is by the time I started to wake up to this channeling, I told Kryon, you got the wrong dude. Because if it was supposed to be me, I would like people, I would be an orator, and I'd be able to write. And Kryon, I remember so vividly the feeling that came over me, and he said, you're all of those things, but they're in the Akash. Go get them. And that's when I started to claim it. And the more I practiced, the easier it got. I now could stand on a stage with 4,000 eyes looking at me. That's 2,000 people.
Yeah. You know, I feel like crying. It feels like
And not feel a thing. There's no nervousness. All I feel is the love of God. I feel is their hearts with mine. There's not a nervous twinge. And I could never, you know, four people bothered me before. I didn't want to be with people. Now I crave it. And so this is, how do you explain this? I mean, if I didn't come from something I had created before, how could it be so easy? How could I have a life change like that? And there are a lot of people that said, well, this is what God gave you. And Kryon said, it is not what God gave you. It's what you have inside you already.
The leap of faith and the doing and going for it, especially if your heart's beating to that tune.
It is. I think a lot of people understand. You know, it's the kind of commitment you make. It's not unusual for humans to do this. How does a human being who is addicted to alcohol quit it? How do they do? Well, they go to the 12-step program, and you know what they find out? They talk all about God. Every time I go into one of these places and talk, well, how did you do this and how did you do that? Well, we now have a faith. You know, they always involve some kind of spiritual aspect, even with the atheists. They all go in, and somehow they get the inspiration of strength. And they'll be sober for 12 years or 15 years or whatever, and they'll always point to this. And I'm saying, this is commitment. This is soul commitment. Mm. We've seen this. This is not new. Now we're looking at the same kind of thing. We're looking at mining the Akash. You know, how much do you want it? And can you practice it, you know? And that's when it starts to apply to you.
Lee, I have one other question that we've got maybe about 4.5 minutes. I'd like to know, what does the magnetic grid have to do with anything?
Kryon says the magnetic grid talks to our cellular structure. We now know that DNA is magnetic. If the magnetic grid puts us all in a magnetic field, if DNA is magnetic, and we know it is now through science, that means there's an overlap. That overlap of magnetic fields is called inductance in electronics. That is a magic soup where communications moves without wires. I teach about it in my seminars. It's basic electricity, it's physics, it's also spiritual physics. Whatever's on a magnetic grid can talk to us directly. And Kryon says what's on the grid is spiritual information, and it has moved greatly in the last 20 years. It has. That's also been validated with CNN.
So I'm thinking this magnetic grid, if people have more enlightenment, more people get it because of, you know, going through the grid.
No. It's actually, you know, it's all about free choice. What's on the grid is like it's gifts. It's like the light is in the other room, and if you could open the door, there's more light in the other room now than there was before.
Okay.
And so you can when you open the door, more comes in. But you've got to open the door, and so nothing is being pushed on humanity.
I see. So there's not even an overflow that eventually people go, wow, I kind of see that. Again, you say that person has to open that door to be able to see that.
Yeah, you know what? I think I honestly think there is more of a push to look
okay.
than there has been before. That's what I like. That's what I'm seeing. Not everybody looked to the same degree, but it just seems like more people are starting to look around. and be a little more savvy about their own spirituality than they have been before.
Also, I just want you to share, there's so much on your website that is free, all the channelings and everything that you have opened that door. I want to let our listeners know that. It's incredible.
Cryon.com is a place where you go, and we don't keep track of who comes and goes. We don't collect emails. You come and go, and nobody knows you've been there. This is the way this is the way a church ought to be. You come and you go, you can worship. Nobody asks you for money on the way in or on the out. That's what I want. That's what's there, and that's what we like to see.
Recently, Susie and I picked up. Susie, look at me. Recently, you and I picked up that CD, Coming Home.
Oh, The Journey Home.
The Journey Home.
Love that.
That is. That's incredible. You guys have to go and look at this. It's awesome. And again, your website is Cryon, Cryon.com.
You know I'm doing that in Shasta. I'm actually explaining the book in Shasta.
Yes, we can hardly wait.
I hope we can drag you out of your cave for dinner.
Oh, that would be fun.
Great. The other thing is all the channelings and all the information, the meetings and things like that are on there. What am I missing? The Indigo Children. You have a website,
www.indigochild.com. Right. Most people don't know that Jan and I introduced the Earth to the Indigo Children, and this is now a phenomenon. It's a buzzword. It'll probably even be in the dictionary soon. This has created its own cottage industry and lots of books. And this was not only seen by the person that we talked about in the book, but it was also channeled information. This is a consciousness shift. This is what Cryon talked about would happen. In 1989, he talked about it, and this is we're seeing it in the kids. We'll get into that, too, at whatever time you want.
I'd love to have you back and talk about the Indigo Children and what's taking place now and everything. Is there one 30-second message you want to get out?
Yes. I want to tell everybody to take everything that I have said today and run it through your own discernment engine. And remember, we're dealing with what Cryon says, we're looking for a creator who wants to be found. So expect results. Start looking at yourself, and it's not about doctrine. It's about what power might be in there that has come into you, and so claim it.